the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, the holy prophet Isaiah is preaching the word of God to the Israelites. But he is not preaching from their homeland. He is preaching to exiled children of Israel, people who are now in Babylon, and so the word of God comes to them even there. Don't lose sight of that. Even in their exile, they had been conquered. They had been taken as slaves, captured, and dragged across a vast wilderness, only to be slaves in a land that they did not know and they were not promised. And so Isaiah finds himself called to bring God's word to a people residing in a land that is not their own. So you can kind of imagine what their spiritual condition is like at this point, right? It is not good. The land that they had promised, that God had promised them, they had been promised, was ripped out from under their feet, taken away from them. They were strangers in a strange land. And they felt as if God had forgotten them. To the Israelites, what it meant to be God's chosen people, which was to have the inheritance of the land, all of that had crumbled along with Jerusalem when it had been captured. And the prophet does not mess around in his sermon. He tells them point blank that the reason that this has happened to them is because they were chasing after other gods. They had violated the first commandment. They had been unfaithful to the Lord. The Israelites were becoming a godless people. They had forgotten the commandments. They had forgotten who their God was. And so he chastens them. He chastens them and brings them through the wilderness and away from the promised land, away from what he had promised to give them, all because of their sin. But the purpose of God chastising wasn't because, you know, his pride was offended or his feelings were hurt or whatever. The reason that God chastens is to call them to a deeper understanding of the covenant, a deeper understanding of their relationship with him, to instill in their hearts and their minds a deeper understanding of exactly what it means to be God's people in the first place. Because they had forgotten that. They had forgotten what it meant. They had become a spiritually lazy people. You see, he wants them to want him, to remember that it was he who chose them to begin with. It was he who led us out from under Satan's reign and bondage, who protects us and provides for us still. It is he who gives us not a heritage of land in the Middle East, but an eternity with him and with all of the saints who are joined to Jesus. That's what he wants. So the Lord wanted the Israelites to want him. God is always prodding and pulling us closer and closer to himself. It doesn't matter what's going on with you. You know, whether you are found exiled in your own Babylon, no home, no family, in pain, or you're in the wilderness, or whether you're safe and comfortable back in Jerusalem, behind the protected walls that it offers, God is always, always working for the good. He's always working for your good because he loves you. And don't forget that the good is not necessarily the good that you want or even that you think you need. I want to win the lottery. I think that would be really good. But God knows that that would not be good for my soul. I would not do good things with it. Because the good that God wants for you is is to be drawn closer and closer and closer to Him. That's the good that He wants for you. The good is always being brought closer to the Holy Trinity. And He does this for no other reason, because He loves you. And He desires you. That's the incredible thing, really. In His sight, even I am beautiful. To God, I am beautiful. Now, you may look at yourselves in the mirror and think any number of things, 1,000 things in the morning. Well, my pants don't fit the way they used to, or the rain that I hear on the roof is making my hair frizzy. I need a haircut. I need to shave. I'm not what I used to look like in high school. But don't you know that when God looks at you, He sees something absolutely beautiful? Because don't you know, joined to His Son by faith in baptism, when He looks at you, it's like looking at His Son. And oh, how the Father loves the Son. Indescribable love between the persons of the Holy Trinity. So God always prods us for that purpose. Always trying to bring us back to Himself. God says by the prophet, do not remember the former things. Don't remember those things, or even consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Even now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and rivers even in the desert, the Lord says. Though they have been utterly unfaithful, though they have turned their backs on God, God will not turn His back on them. He will bring them back to the land even, back to their inheritance. He will make a way in the wilderness for them, a way to return to their Lord. And these words that the prophet preaches to them must have been as sweet as honey, sweeter than honey even. To know that when they were in the worst place in their lives, when they were in Babylon in the hour of darkness, that their God had not abandoned them, that He was coming for them to make a way for their return. That even in the midst of their isolation and their suffering, and especially in the midst of their isolation and suffering, God would not leave them be. But here's the deal. God says that in their return to the land of promise, they're going to have to travel through the wilderness. Right through the wilderness. The way that He provides is through the wilderness. This means that God will train His people. He will bring them back to Himself, closer to Himself by discipline, by forging them in the refiner's fire and taking them out and beating them again, and then sticking them right back in the refiner's fire. As they travel through that wilderness, once again, they're going to have to relearn how to put their trust in Him, because they had forgotten. They had forgotten. They'll have to trust that it's going to be Him who leads them away from the serpents and the wolves. He will be the one to deliver them from their enemies, not their own might. Their own might counts for nothing. It's God alone who counts for the people of God. He will provide even bread from heaven to feed them. For He is the one who gives water in the wilderness and makes rivers spring up in the desert. Now, I've got a brother that you've seen once or twice. And he and I are alike in some ways, kind of alike. but we're more different than we are alike. Now, I'd rather be outside messing with something or looking under a rock or building something outside. And I feel if the afternoon is planned, goes as planned, we're going to be out looking for mushrooms all over the place, even in the rain, right? Oh, the Fry family doesn't seem too thrilled about that. Well, my brother would rather be inside, messing on a computer with whatever you do on computers. I'm not very good at that. He is. It's not my thing. I enjoy the wilderness. Always have. But the Bible here talks about a different kind of wilderness than I'm used to, than you're used to. The biblical wilderness is a dark and very threatening place. We've spoken of this before, maybe in Bible study. It is a dangerous, very dangerous place. It's a place that you did not want to find yourself. You did not just go to hunt mushrooms in the wilderness back then. It was a place of wolves and demons. It was a place where people easily died. They were easily led astray. They got lost, and they did not come back. And if you absolutely had to cross it, you didn't just wander around looking under rocks like I did. You went fast through it. You did it as quickly as possible because you were isolated out there. You were alone. You had no security. You had no reason to think that you would ever make it out of there alive. But the Israelites had one assurance, and this one was all they needed. During their darkest moments, it was the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, who promised to be right there with them. In the midst of all of this hell in the wilderness, God has promised to be right there with them. He would lead them. He would provide for them. And not in the way that they thought they needed, but in the way that he knew they needed. Right in the midst of the wilderness, he would walk every step with them. He would never leave them alone to fend for themselves. And he would bring them through it. He would bring them through it. The wilderness, when you read it, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New, it is the biblical image of just a hard and dark place in life. But those dark and difficult places that we find ourselves in at times, they really are places where our faith can grow, where God can grow our faith, and he can greatly strengthen it. It's a place where your relationship with God can be enlivened and deepened. And I don't care who you are or how well you've got it right now, all of God's people enter the wilderness at some point in their lives or another. Doesn't matter who you are. What our marriage is going so well, as we thought it would on the day of our wedding, right? When your husband makes you go out and find mushrooms in the rain. When someone we love dies. When the doctor comes in with not very good news. We can feel the wolves circling around us. We feel alone. Maybe we even feel abandoned. That, my brothers and sisters, that is the wilderness. And many times, the first thing we do is what? We get angry at God. We say, why are you doing this to me? How dare you? What have I done to you? Why me? And we shake our fists and we get mad and we yell at him. And that is okay. He is great enough to endure our confused yelling at him when we are in the wilderness. I promise you that. But where the rubber hits the road is that time right after you're done yelling and shaking your fists. Because it's at this point when your mind and your heart just kind of quiet down that you're able to hear maybe with more clarity, the word of the Lord coming to you. And it's when we come to this point in the wilderness where we can hear him speaking to us in a way that maybe we didn't hear before. Sometimes the wilderness is where we can hear God speaking to us most poignantly. And then we can say, Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have been angry at you. Be present with me, a sinner. Guide me through this, Father. Don't leave me alone. Never leave me. You never really leave the wilderness the same person as you entered it. Because such an intimate closeness with the source of our being and existence is life-changing. Because the silent wilderness is a place where God can and will reshape your soul. Where he attends to us in exactly the way that we need. And so the wilderness is not a place to fear. It's not a place to cower away from, right? That's our inclination. I think human beings in general, I mean, we're just afraid. We're just like sheep. We're flighty and we fear. But the wilderness is not a place that we need to be afraid of. Because our Father promises us that when we find ourselves there, he will always be with us. Rain or shine. And don't you know that if he is with us, what could we ever have to fear? What could we ever fear when Jesus walks right beside us? The ancient Israelites to whom the Holy Prophet is preaching today, they seem so distant to us, I think, but they're really not. Because just like Isaiah, I preach to people who are not in their promised land either. I'm preaching to God's people who, just like the Israelites, are walking through the wilderness, but who nonetheless have Emmanuel's own promise to never leave us, to never leave our side, never leave us alone. But even to bring us into eternity with him. Our promised land is with him, the new Jerusalem that exists in the immediate presence of our God, where we will worship him with a joy and a communion so great that we will look back on the sacrament of the altar and we will realize that it was indeed only just a foretaste of the incredible and immense feast that is to come. A foretaste of the feast of eternal communion with each other and with the Holy Trinity. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.